So let's recite the verse for beginning the sutra, Chinese verse. 无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。The unsuppressed, profound, and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion aeons. Today we see, hear, receive, and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata. Good morning, everyone. 今天是我们第圆觉经介绍的第三堂哈，从第一堂讲文殊师利菩萨，然后第二次讲谁？普贤菩萨，一个是智慧第一，一个是什么？大恨第一，好，就是这个问的问题呢，也都是非常的直接哈。第一个怎么样，就是断无明了，然后第二个呢？怎么样以幻修幻，那佛的回答都也非常的直接，算是一个叫做什么顿悟的一种指导方式。 So this is the third lecture for the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment. The first, second lectures we introduced a question raised by Bodhisattva Manjushri,who is the foremost of wisdom. And the second one is Bodhisattva Samantabharat, and who is the foremost of practice. And their questions are very direct and very profound, and the Buddha's answer were also very direct. So these two sections, the teaching from the Buddha,we call it very sudden path, a direct path, which is not easy to accomplish upon hearing. 那这样的一个指导呢，其实是非常属于顿悟的哈，直接直指问题所在，然后就见性开悟这样子。可是这样的一个指导方式呢，就是因为它太直接了，所以大部分的人都还是没有办法可以得理。那所以接下来呢，就有很慈悲的菩萨在帮我们继续为末世的众生问一些问题，让我们真正能够步上佛道，然后走上修行之路。So then, since those direct methods it's not easy to comprehend or just actualize it immediately, so there are more bodhisattvas that raise more questions for us so that we can understand better and also get to the past and one day attain the Buddhahood. And the next Bodhisattva is called Bodhisattva of Universal Vision. 那么接下来的这个菩萨叫做普眼菩萨哈。那顾名思义呢，那眼睛的眼，顾名思义的是这个菩萨呢，他的功德力就是他的那个观察力非常的敏锐。他的观察功夫非常的好，那他就起来问了佛这个问题啊、哦，他说：“对我们这个要用我们的智慧觉相永断无明，然后我们呢要离知幻即离，离幻即觉。可是我们末世的发心的菩萨，要修行的菩萨呢，没有办法一触可及。那有没有有渐次的修行法门？”那平常的时候我们要怎么样的来思维，然后能够来住持它，住持就是能够把它维持住，就是在我们还没有成佛以前，有没有什么法门能够让我们在平常慢慢的修，慢慢的去观察，然后呢能够一直把着这个方法不要忘失了这样子。 So the Bodhisattva of Universal Visionthat he asked the Buddha, say that, you know, I know that I should use my intrinsic complete enlightenment to sever all the ignorance and to see my Buddha nature. And also, you know, when I know that everything, anything is illusory, and I just let it go. And when I let go of it, then I get enlightened. But somehow it's for the Dharma ending age, for those people who just initiate their body-mind. They just vow to practice the Buddha Bodhisattva path. They cannot, you know, attend the Buddhahood upon hear those teachings. So is there any method or gradual method that we can use, and how we contemplate in the daily life, and how we can uphold it so that one day after a certain time that we all can attain the Buddhahood? This question is basically asked for us, those who want to practice. Okay. 所以这个问题呢，普眼菩萨就是帮我们这些刚出发心想要修行的菩萨们问的问题。那佛呢，刚开始的时候就很明确的回答了，他说，如果真正要修行的人哦，他的正知见，他要有一个正念，就是说这一切都是虚幻的，我们要远离他。承接上一个菩萨普贤菩萨问的问题，就是说我们还是要告诉自己这一切是幻的，我们需要远离它。那虽然我们不能马上远离它呢，那接下来可以用的方法是，第一个，他说要先依如来摄摩他行，坚持境界，安处途众，厌作净事，恒作思念。好，以下，那意思就是说呢，你必须要摄摩他呢，它是一个静心的方法，就是止修止的一个功夫。然后呢，要能够坚持境界，就是说要能够持戒。那持戒这怎么讲呢？ So the Buddha answered that, you know, first of all, you still need to keep in mind that everything is illusory, that we need to detach from. That's the bottom line.Everything is illusory. However, we cannot see it as illusory. We still think that it is true. But then follow, we can use the following method. So, still keep in mind that everything is illusory. And then you can use the method of still the mind and uphold the precept.That's the first step. Why we need to uphold the precept for practice. 那为什么佛在这个普眼菩萨提的时候，他开宗明义就讲说要持戒呢？持戒的精神是在哪里？我记得，我第一次念普门品的时候啊，普门品不是有提到说，如果你遇到种种困难的时候，你就称观音菩萨名号，你就会远离那些灾难，对不对？然后第二天晚上呢，我就做了一个梦，好，我梦见我就掉到河里面去了，很黑暗的一个河里面去。然后那时候我就忽然想起，我要念观音菩萨，然后我就念了观音菩萨，然后我的身体就从那个水里面这样浮出来。站在石头上，那当下我就觉得说，哇，真灵，然后我就醒来了。那从此我就觉得说，哎，这普门品说的是真的哦。那后来又有一次呢，我又做了一个梦。那我那时候梦见我的身体不能动了，然后就很紧张。那这时候我就开始念观音菩萨，念念没有用。然后我就念唤阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛再念也醒不来，最后我想到最后一招是六字大明咒，嗡嘛呢叭咪吽，然后就醒来了，终于醒来了，然后我就知道说，嗡嘛呢咪叭咪吽比佛号更 strong 更有力。然后到有一次呢，我出家了以后，我又一次。然后 逆志呢是不仅身体不能动，我还可以看到一些影像。这时候我就又故旧迹重施，观音菩萨、阿弥陀佛、六字大明咒，通通不管用。哇，那时候非常的紧张了哈，然后就什么方法都弄出来哈，然后最后是终于把自己给弄醒了。弄醒了之后，我记得我就跑去找国兴法师，我就去请教他说这到底是怎么一回事。那国兴法师第一个劈头就问我说，你为什么要念佛号？你做噩梦的时候为什么要念佛号？你想把他赶跑对不对？我说这当然啊。他说可是佛号是慈悲的，不是一把斧头去打赶走你不要看到的人。这时候我才警觉说，当我们在用一个方法，我们要知道这个法门它的精神是什么。那持戒也是一样，持戒它的精神到底是什么？ OK, so in the beginning of Buddha's answer, then Buddha said that we need to uphold the precepts. Why is that? What is that important for practitioners? What is the spirit? What is the reason to uphold the precepts? Okay. There is one time that I firstheard us chant the, what is that called, the universal gate, the chapter of universal gate in the sutra. Then I read that the sutra says that, you know, whenever you encounter any disaster, bad things happen to you, just remember to chant Guanyin Bodhisattva's name, and then you will get rid of thoseobstacles. So the next day, I had a dream that I fall into a deep, dark water. Then I memorize the sutra. So I start to chant Guanyin Bodhisattva's name. Then I found out that my body just flow up and stand on the one stone. And so my first thought is, wow,It works. The chanting Guanyin's name works. And then sometimes later, then I had another dream that I found out that my body cannot move. So I kind of very scared. So I start to chant Guanyin's name again. It didn't work. So I chant Amitabha's name.Didn't work either. Then I thought of one thing, the mantra, Om Ma Mi Ba Mi Hong. I chanted it, then I woke up. And then my conclusion is that, you know, the Om Ma Mi Ba Mi Hong, the mantra is more powerful than Amitabha's name. Okay. And after I become a monastic, there is one day I had a bad dream.Not even my body cannot move. I see something. And I was very scared too. So I used the same technique. You know, Guanyin Bodhisattva's name didn't work. Amitabha's name didn't work either. I chant the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. Nothing works. I was very scared. So I just tried...all the method just tries to move my body. Eventually, I wake myself up. Then I go see Guo Xing Fa Si at that time is the director of the Chan Center in Taiwan. So upon hearing my story, he directly asked me, why you chant all this Buddha's name and mantra?You try to use that Buddha's name and mantra to chase those you don't like away, right? Is it the spirit of Buddha's name? Aren't they supposed to be compassion in your mind when you chant Buddha's Buddha's name or the mantra. And then I realize what is going on. That the method I'm using is totally wrong because my attitude is wrong. 所以我一警觉到说，原来我用的方法是错的。 原因是我的心态不对。当我们念佛、念咒语也好，他的心态是慈悲的，不管是慈悲自己或是慈悲他人，他不是一把斧头、一个工具来赶走、驱除你不要的东西。如果心态是不对的话，这个方法也就不管用了。那持戒呢？ 我们常常看到佛教徒，哇，好像持戒清净，我不做这个，不做那个，我不吃这个，我不那个，看起来好像非常的清净。可是呢，在他身边的人都非常的不舒服，因为常常会被他指责。照理说，我们持戒应该是让别人感到非常的安全。 然后非常的喜欢跟你在一起，因为你不会去做伤害他的事情。但是呢，有很多人持戒的结果是常常用戒律去伤害他人，让他人觉得不舒服。那我们持戒的心态就不对了。所以师父讲，持戒他的心态，他的精神是慈悲与智慧。 So, my practice of chanting Buddha's name or the mantra didn't work. It's not because the method didn't work. It's because my attitude is wrong. I'm trying to use Buddha's name or the mantra to get rid of those that I don't want or I don't want to see. It's not the original vow that the Buddha say that they want to help sentient being. I should have the compassionate attitude in my mind to use this method. And since the attitude is wrong, so the method didn't work for me. And the same thing applied to uphold the precepts. Sometimes when Buddhists start to uphold the precept, keep the precept, they tell people that I don't do this, I don't do that. And people around them feel very uncomfortable, sometimes get hurt, because they will be accused by the Buddhist who uphold the precept, keep telling that you are wrong, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But when we uphold the precept, we should let the people get close to us feel comfortable, because they know that a people who uphold the precept will not harm others. They should feel safe around us, not get hurt by us. So if we do not have the right attitude to uphold the precept, that the precept will not do any good for you and will not do any good for others. And Shifu say that the spirit, the attitude to uphold the precept is compassion and wisdom. 对，所以师父在书中讲到说，当我们呢要持戒的时候，第一点是要避免去做所有对自己 与他人有害的事情。第二点呢，是去做所有对自己与他人有益的事情。如果你发现有一件事情对自己有利、对他人有利的时候，你一定要去做它。第三件事情，他说，去做对他人有益的事情，即便他对自己没有什么利益。不是说 去做对他人有益，然后又但是是伤害自己，不是这个哈意思，是说你去做对他人有益，即便这个事情对你没有什么利益。这三个层次呢，其实就是我们的菩萨戒。 不要做有害的事情，去做对大家都有利的事情。但更进一步，饶以友情的时候呢，是即便对自己没有什么利益，但是可以对他人做的事情，我们也要去做。OK, so, we have the compassion and wisdom to uphold the precepts. In the book, Shifu said that what we should do is first, avoid doing anything that will harm yourself or harm others. The second, to do the things that will benefit yourself and also benefit others. The third, to do those that will benefit others even though you will not get any benefit for yourself. I have to clarify, the third is not to do good things for others but will harm yourself, is that to do the things that will benefit others but even though you will not get any benefit. And this is what we call the Bodhisattva precepts. 那持菩萨戒很重要，好，为什么呢？师父曾经 举了一个例子，那个打火机，打火机大家知道，现在没有打火机。打火机呢，是我们的本性，是我们的本体。但是当我们想要去利益众生，想要能够产生光明的时候，我们是不是要去做一个动作？要怎么讲？点火，对不对？要去 strike, 然后火就出来了，对不对？他说，师父说，我们受菩萨戒就是那个点火的动作。我们有佛的本性，我们发了菩提心，受菩萨戒，去点了那个火，然后我们就产生了那个火的光明，可以照耀自己，也可以照耀他人。那如果我们不发愿，不受戒的话呢，那我们是没有办法产生这个新的功能，去帮助自己，帮助他人。所以受戒是非常重要的一件事情。So, why take the Bodhisattva precepts or uphold the Bodhisattva precepts is that important? I remember Sifu once gave an analogy about taking the Bodhisattva precepts. That you know that the lighter. Do you know the lighter? Okay.So the lighter represents our Buddha nature, our mind. But how can you ignite the fire that can shine yourself and shine for others? The action of ignite is represent taking the Bodhisattva precept or making your vows.Without making vows, without taking the precept, without upholding the precept, you are the lighter without fire. So your mind does not function at all. And your mind cannot help yourself, cannot help others. So it's very important that we make vows and also taking the precept. And that's why the first part of Buddha's answer is,If you want to practice, first you have to uphold the precepts. And the spirit and the attitude of upholding the precept is compassion and wisdom. Okay. 所以佛陀开宗明义就告诉我们必须要持戒。那持戒了之后呢，当你的心充满了慈悲跟智慧，当你不去做不对的事情，当你去做有益众生的事情，第一个，你的心会清净；第二个，你的法缘会具足。好，这怎么说呢？假设你今天跟人家吵架了，你的心会平静吗？可能一定今天心情都不好，心都还在 吵架的那个事件的内容里面。不管你有理你没有理，不管你对不对，不管结局是怎么样，你的心就是起伏不定。起伏不定的心呢，是没有办法修行的。就是接下来佛陀要讲的修色摩他的时候，你是没有办法静下你的心来用方法的。所以这个第一个持戒，让自己的心能够平静，因为你没有做错事情。第二个呢，如果你可以利益有情众生，当你修行的时候，你就会有众缘具足来成就你的修行。就像说你今天如果你去闭关，要不要有人来护关？你去打七，要不要有人来护七？你修行很得力的时候，万一有个人来打你闲差怎么办？对不对？当你众缘具足的时候，你的修行是事半功倍。所以持戒它有这样的一个功德力。 OK, why, what is the benefit or what's the outcome of upholding the precepts? First, since you didn't do anything wrong, your mind is calm. Have you remember that when you have quarrel or fight with others, what is their emotional mood today, that day? Must beUp and down, right? Still in the scenario of fighting. No matter you are right or wrong, no matter you deserve the forgiveness or not, and no matter it's a happy ending or bad ending, that your mind is up and down. Your mind cannot calmAnd none of the method will work for you. So when we practice calming the mind is the first step. Without doing anything wrong, your mind will not be fluctuated. And the second, if you uphold the precept and try your best to benefit others, you will have a good karma link with others. So when you practice, you will have a good conditionsTo practice and good conditions one day to get awakening or realization. For example, like Sifu, when Sifu was in a solitary retreat, he needs people to support him, right? To provide him meals and to provide him a good environment. When we go to a retreat, we need people to cook for us.And, you know, all those volunteers that to keep this retreat smooth. All those people are trying to help us practice. And imagine that you sitting there use the method so good and so deep, and your kids came, ruining your whole day practice. How do you feel? If you are nice to your kid, when you practice, they will keep silent.Keep away from you. And that's good your practice. Okay, so that's the virtues of upholding the precepts, that the first of all, your mind will be calm. And secondly, you will have a good karma link with all people around you that will make your practice more smoothly. Okay. 那第一步能够持戒之后呢，第二个呢，要能够安处途中。安处途中的意思就是说，你要在你的这个你所在的环境里面，你要能够安住。就是安住，就是很安心的在这个团体里面。这个团体不管是在你的家，在你的工作，在你的公司，或是呢在学校，或是今天到寺院来，在这个寺院里面，你都可以安住，这是非常重要的一点。如果我们修行在家里看先生不顺眼，看小孩也不顺眼，你就会心就又不平静了，又想骂人了。当你到公司去的时候，你又觉得老板对你不公平， 你会觉得同事都在偷懒，你看什么都不顺眼，你没有办法安住，可能做没两下你就要辞职了。当你有发心来道场做义工，要培福咯，要来听经咯，可是你一进门就看到有的义工菩萨为什么讲话这么大声，然后你又到厨房去的时候又发现这个菜怎么这么难吃，然后一上来看到法师啊，有的太瘦有的太胖，讲话不够大声，有的讲话太大声，哇，你处处都是你不顺眼的地方，最后你会觉得说这里不值得我做义工，我走了，那你连培福的机会都没有，还造一堆口业的离开这个寺院，那你没有办法让你自己安住在这个事实上就是如实的世间相里面，就是不完美的世间相里面的时候，那你也没有办法用方法的啦。所以我们到现在为止都还在讲用方法的前置作业哦，还没佛陀还没有讲到那个渐次法门，都还没有讲，就先告诉我们要修行是吧，前置作业第一个要能够持戒，第二个呢你走到哪里都能够安住。好，这样子。 The second part I'm still talking about the pre-request for practice. Okay, before you Buddha taught us, teach us any method to practice, there are some pre-requests before we can use the method. The first, to uphold the precepts. The second one, you have to be at ease in all environment. No matter where you go, you feel at ease. No disturbing, no complaint. When you go home, you don't like certain behavior of your spouse. Your kid is too noisy. And what you would do is just keep complaining or keep saying bad things to them. And you are not at ease at home. When you go to work, you think your boss is unfair to you. You don't like your colleague because they are lazy all the time. They didn't finish their work in time.And when you come to the temple, you finally say, okay, I want to cultivate some merit for my practice. I want to cultivate some wisdom from the lectures. And when you walk in the door and you found that the volunteers, the receptionist is too noisy. And when you go to the kitchen, you found that, oh, those Chinese foods, too salty, bad food. And when you come to the lecture room, the Buddha hall, and you found that, wow, some Fasi is too skinny, some Fasi is too fat. Some of their voice is too loud, and some of their voice cannot hear it. And you generate all kinds of unsatisfactions. And you might finally just walk out of the door and say, you know, this is not the right place for me.And you're not even start to practice yet. And you will walk out of the door. So the second pre-request for you is, if you want to practice, try to be at ease no matter where you go. Take it easy. Feel comfortable. And like everyone. Like the environment. That's the second step. The Buddha said.If you want to practice, okay. 那第三点呢，才开始讲了方法咯。方法说，第一个，你找一个安静的地方坐下来，开始静心。好，所谓的静心哈，师父讲有很多种方法。好，那在书上呢，师父有讲到哈，就是说。首先呢，你必须要把你的念头，当你的心念很杂乱的时候，你必须用一个念头或是用一个着力点，让你的念头能够什么专心，好，比如就是从你的散乱心好变成这个什么，这个 focus 叫什么， 专注的心，好，专注集中的心。然后你的心集中之后呢，然后你必须要能够就是方法用得很得力，就是你不会被你的念头牵着跑，仍然会专注在你的方法上。他不管是熟悉也好，或是就是念佛号也好，不管是用什么方法也好，你要能够想办法让你的心专注。这用方法第一步，要能够让自己的心专注。Okay, then Buddha started to talk about how to practice. The first step, you have to use one method to concentrate, to still your mind. No matter it's counting the breath, or watching your breath, or even chanting Buddha's name. No matter what method you use that, and so you can let go of your wandering thought and keep your mind at the method of the breath, and then keep focusing and focusing until that nothing, the wandering thought and what happened in the environment will not bother you anymore. Then your mind, what we call, is still and calm.那接下来呢，当你的心能够静止之后，你要用一个方法。在这个 经文里面呢，他讲到了一个是观自我，好，一个就是不净观跟戒分别观，你就开始观了。好，如果你的心不静，你是观不到东西的，你连你的杂念都观不到，跟着他起舞，好，都没有警觉到你已经在动起心 动杂念了，妄想纷飞了。当你的心静下来的时候，你开始发现你的念头一念一念一念一念的断断续续断断续续的， 它不是一个连续的念头，一定是一个一个接着一个的念头，那你就可以观照到你的念头其实是这样子。 Then second, when your mind is calm and concentrate, then you start to contemplateContemplate your mind, contemplate your thought arising and perishing, and then you will find that your mind is a connection of every individual thought. Your mind is not continuously one thought. It's individual thought and happens so fast, come fast, perish fast, and one by one, one by one.And at that point, we start to contemplate, the self, the so-called self, and the so-called environment, the worldly phenomena. Okay, 那当你的心可以非常细微的观察心念的时候，我们可以开始观自我，观世间相。好，那在这个经文里面呢，他就花了一段非常长的经文来解释。他说我们要观此身，这个自我呢可以分成两个部分，一个是我们的身体，一个是物质的我，一个是精神的我。那物质我的我就是我的这个身体 physical body， 那这个精神我的我呢也包括心理的第一层次，还有真的心灵的层次的东西，然后是心。这个他就经文有讲到说，你要观这个身体呢是四大和合的，地水火风，我们之前有讲到是地水火风和合而成的。那当这个四大分离的时候呢，你的身体会在哪里啊？没了，那我们要更进一步观，不是说我们死掉的时候才四大分离哦。我们的身体现在有没有在变化？有哈。如果大家有学一下这个生理现象的话，大家知道说我们的皮肤那个细胞一直在死，新陈代谢，对不对？死掉又新的出来，死掉又新的出来。我们的血液啊，红血球各个样的都是在一段周期死掉之后又造新血，对不对？我们身体所有的皮肤 骨头就是地水火风，这个骨头也有在变的，不然我们不会长大嘛，不然我们变老也不会丢了去嘛，就是那个骨头也在一直变，是地嘛，水我们的血液更不要讲了，火呢呼吸啊，我们有没有一下觉得冷一下觉得热，温度也在变化，风呢呼吸更是在变化，有时候呼吸长有时候呼吸短，这个身体既然是地水火风组成的，我们这个 body 其实任何时刻都在变化，就这样子观。 So when we contemplate that there are two parts that we need to contemplate, one is called physical self, the other is called spiritual self. Okay, physical self is our body. Spiritual self can include your mental, your emotion, and also your mind. Okay, so how to contemplate your physical body? The sutra says that our body is composed of what? The four elements. Earth, water, wind, and fire, right? And so what is earth? Bone. The bone and teeth, right? Is earth, represent earth.And water is our blood, you know, all the liquid things. And fire is our body temperature. And the wind is our breath. Okay. So when the four elements decompose, where is our body? Gone? Buried?Or ashes back to the nature, the void. Yeah. So is it only when we die that the four elements decompose? No, anytime, right? Metabolism. See, the bondKeep changing. That's why we can grow up. And when we getting old, you know, our bones shrink. And how about your blood? See, all the blood cells, they have a cycle, right? The cells die and then we generate new cells. Every day we drink water. And the body temperature.You know, it's lower in the morning, higher in the afternoon. Sometimes we feel hot in the summer, feel cold in the winter. Our body temperatures keep changing. And also our breath. When we were sick, our breath is shallow. When we were healthy or when we exercise, the breath is deep and feel good, right? So every moment, our body keep changing.But every moment our body changes. So which one is our real body? Which moment that you can say that this is my real body? That is the first state that Buddha taught us to contemplate. You sit there, your mind calm, concentrate. And by contemplate your breath, you can also already feel that everything is changed. And you contemplate that your whole body is changing every moment. So who is your real body? 那第二个部分要观察心里的我的时候，精神上的我的时候，佛讲，既然呢，这个身体是四元，四元假合的，就是一直在变化的这个身体，是假合的。那我们的眼耳鼻舌身意六根呢，也是每个 moment 在 change， 对不对？那这个六根接触六尘的时候呢，我们的身体在变， 这个杯子有没有在变？这桌子也在变，然后我们的眼睛在变，这个东西也在变，然后我们的眼睛看到这个东西的时候产生的六识是不是也在一直变？这个很细微，听道理都懂，可是当我看到你的时候我还是觉得你不变嘛。不然的话呢，住持法师不会一直讲，你眼中的妈妈是你的妈妈吗？是你记忆中的妈妈，因为你的妈妈已经她的身体，不仅她的身体一直在变，连她的心都在变了，然后她还在变啊，你的心也在变，那你记忆中的她是真的她吗？好，那我们唯有用方法修行到身心很细微，能够去如实观察的时候，当我们真正能够知道体会到真的是身心无常的时候，我们才可能真正放下身心的执着，不是道理上的了解，而是真实的体验它。 OK, so how we contemplate our spiritual self. So the sutra say thatYou know, since our body is kind of a temporary combination of the four elements, our six organs, six faculties are also temporary, composed by the four elements. Our eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and brain, they are all temporary composed by the four elements. And also our environment.You know, the clock, the cup, the table, they are also the temporary combination of the four elements. They are keeping change all the time. So your eye is changing and the object is changing as well. So what do you see? And when you...see someone you like, you generate happiness. And that person has changed the next moment, and you also change the next moment. And how about the happiness? You know that our abbot Guo Xing Fa Si kept asking us, you know. So the mother you see is your real mother? is...the mother in your memory is not your mother, because your mother has been changed the next moment you see her, and you also changed. So the mother in your memory is not your real mother. But since we are so attached to it, so attached to our memory, attached to our consciousness, that we did not give the truethe reality of that object. And we give them labels, we give them interpretation based on our memory, not the truth or not the reality. And then we will generate suffering and conflicts. Okay. 那这样子的一个就是说，当我们知道说，哎呀 ，Okay, I forgot.So, you know, knowledge-wise that you can accept Buddha's explanation or my explanation here. But it's not real because it's not a direct experience from you. Only when you calm your mind and concentrate your mind, and then when your mind's getting subtle, that you contemplate...real has the direct experience that you see your body is ever changing, and you see the object is ever changing, and you see your mind is ever changing. Once you have this direct experience, you will not attach to your body and to others' body, will not attach to your mind and other people's mind. At that moment, you can detach. Not knowledge kind of acceptance. It's a real experience. So the whole sutra spent a lot of portion of to explain, you know, how to contemplate the body and mind, how to contemplate the six faculty, the six faculty and the sense object. What is English? The sense objects and the sense perceptions are illusory, are forever change. Then you can realize what Buddha say, that everything is illusory, and you then will detach from it. Okay.
那也就是说，当这个经文里面花了一段很长的时间，从一开始讲。 就是怎么样去观啊，这个四大呀、六根啊、六尘啊，它是为什么它是虚幻的，从很细哈，从一粗的啊，眼根、眼根、眼识、眼尘啊，一直观、一直观、一层一层的观，花了很长的一段时间呢去解释怎么观。那最主要就是观这个四大根，四大根、六根是虚幻的。当我们真正的心静止了以后。 然后能够很细微的观心念的活动，然后可以观到这个身心都是虚幻的时候，我们才可能真正的放下，才可能真正的了解身心是虚幻的，而不是知识上的接受。好，知识上的接受有帮助，可是呢，它的功力不大，所以当你遇到境界，当你跟人家吵架。 当你要买衣服的时候，你还是很执着，对不对？因为它都是真的嘛，因为它很漂亮嘛，是不是？OK， 好。那接下来呢？当然了，这个方法呢，其实在是佛教基本的一个很基本的一个重要的方法。好，那我们呢，在佛教的教里面有讲一个四念处。 有没有听过？好，就是观身不净，观受是苦，观心无常，观法无我。好，四念处的英文要怎么讲 ？For, oops, okay. So there is a basic principle to describe the method that I just described. I'm sorry, I forgot how to. The English term, but it's basically that you contemplate that the body is impure, and you contemplate that your perception is suffer, and you contemplate your mind is impermanent, and you contemplate that the Dharma has no self. Anybody the body is impure, and your perception is suffered, is suffering, and your mind is impermanent, and you contemplate the Dharma has no self. Okay. Our body is impure. Okay. 观身不净，我们的身体不净，对不对？那排泄物干不干净？ 可是它是从我们身体出来的哦，它曾经在我们的肠子里面待了一阵子嘛，但是它一定要离开我们的身体，我们就觉得它不干净，这很容易。但是说我们身体不干净，我洗得很干净啊，对不对？很难会觉得自己不干净。可以说它无常，但是蛮干净的。可是你去显微镜一看，你就会被自己吓死。很多的微生物在里面。 那师父在书里面就曾经问一个信众说：“你敢不敢看你的排泄物？”有的人说敢啊，就看一下嘛。那愿不愿意仔细看？不要开玩笑了。那敢不敢拿起来闻啊，或是把它吃下去？因为刚刚才从你身体出来，再把它吃回去啊。 可是我有一天去中央公园啊， 我实在是很佩服那佩服的一件让我很佩服一件事情，有一个男众哦，他遛狗，结果呢，那有个遛狗的，他的狗呢就在路边 poop 哈，然后他就马上从口袋拿了一个塑胶袋起来，捡起来对不对？很有公德心，捡起来嘛。那要是我就捡起来就丢垃圾桶，对不对？他不是，他捡起来拿起来闻，他就觉得嗯，他对，然后他就点一个头 ，good， 然后把它包起来。哇，我想说，我连自己的都不敢闻了，要去闻。你看我们的心多么的分别哈，我的身体我可以闻啊，但是只要一离开我的身体，对不起，脏的。So contemplate the body is impure. Sometimes it's hard to take it because I wash my body every day. I'm clean. But how about the poop just leave your body? It was in your body, right? 5 seconds earlier. 5 seconds later is not in your body anymore. Then it becomes dirty. So in the book, Sifu asked one of the disciples say, you know,Do you watch your poop? Some say, yeah. But Sifu say, do you mind to watch it carefully? Like, in very detail? Then that person say, no answer. So, and not let alone, you know, that just come out from our body and then how about eat it back right away? No, it's gross. Disgusting.So there is one time I went to Central Park. I saw a guy was walking his dog. And then the dog pooped on the sidewalk. And I saw the guy, you know, take out a plastic bag. Yeah, and I pick it up. I said, wow, good man. And then the next step is he grabbed the poop and smelled it.And then knock his hat and then put it back in the bag. I just feel like, wow. I wouldn't do that. It's just like a mother smell baby's poo, you know, checking to see if they are healthy. They don't mind, but notyour own self, right? So, see, we discriminate. We not just discriminate that, you know, your body and my body. We even discriminate the things come out from our body. Once we think that it's not part of us anymore, it's dirty. Right? So, you know, 这是很有意思的哈，叫观身不净。当我们这个禅修的时候不是说体验到大我吗？这个整个世界都是我的一部分的时候，什么不是你的呢？那什么东西是脏的呢？好，那观受是苦了。很多人都想说，对啊，他骂我，我很苦啊。这个我爱的人不爱我，我也很苦啊。这感受太苦了哈，那快乐的东西苦不苦？为什么？啊，不会持久，对啊，当你不持久，你快乐的东西不见了，你就伤心了嘛哈。我记得我很小很小的时候，那时候很在台湾哦，乡下没有什么咖啡这种事情，可是我就有一次。那有一个爸爸的朋友就从美国带了咖啡耶，啊，那时候其实不会煮呢，你就给他乱煮一通，大家就每个人喝一口，觉得哇，好好喝哦。其实是不知道怎么煮的啦，反正就觉得没喝过，就觉得很好喝。然后到我慢慢长大的时候，那大家都会在实验室里面喝什么？没有，那时候台湾还不流行煮咖啡，就是买即溶咖啡啊。大家就很高兴啊，就买那种好的即溶咖啡来泡，对不对？然后当我到美国来的时候呢，哇，就，大家都用煮的呢， 新鲜磨的豆子去煮，对不对？就喂，喂啊，很好喝哎。后来呢，就 Starbucks 流行了，煮的咖啡还要买 Starbucks， 不然那个不好牌子的哈，实在是很难喝。我，然后后来呢，我的实验室的老板非常讲究咖啡，他不仅是买名牌的咖啡豆，而且他要现磨，而且两个小时之内没有喝完就丢掉。那我也不知不觉中养成就喝两个小时新鲜名牌咖啡。等到有一天我又到禅中心来的时候，很想睡觉，喝了一杯咖啡差点吐出来。我那时候就觉得说，这咖啡什么咖啡，怎么那么难喝啊？你看我们的那个口欲啊，本来喝咖啡这么小的时候喝那不知道什么咖啡，这样喝得那么高兴，慢慢的很高兴的东西变得不能取悦我了。到后来呢，可以喝这么好的咖啡之后，90%的咖啡已经不入口了。那快乐是什么？So I remember that when I was very little in Taiwan, I would seldom see coffee. And there's one of my father's friends, he came back from the United States and he bought us a little bag of coffee. At that moment, we don't even know how to cook coffee. So we just put it in the boiling water and cook it for a long time. And everybody just get a sip.Even it's bitter, we say, wow, wonderful, good, delicious. And when I grew up and when I was in college, and so sometimes we have to drink coffee to keep us awake. So we bought instant coffee because at that time, the brew coffee is not popular in Taiwan. So we drink instant coffee. Everybody just feel like, wow, smells so good. When people drink coffee, we just smell it. Wow, wonderful.And when I come to U.S. and study, and I start to drink the brew coffee, wow, it's even better. And then there is a Starbucks. Starbucks is better than, you know, supermarket's coffee. And there is one time that the lab I work in, my boss is very picky on coffee. So,Our lab, we bought good brand of coffee bean. So every time we blend the coffee freshly and brew the coffee freshly and we drink it in 2 hours, after 2 hours, we throw it away. And I start to drink that kind of coffee for a long time.So there is one time when I came back to CMC again, and I grab one cup of coffee and drink it, I almost throw out. I just feel like, wow, terrible coffee. Cannot drink it. See, the pleasure that I had when I was a little kid with that bad coffee, I feel very happy. And then...Now is 90% of the coffee cannot please me anymore. So what is our perceptions mean to us? You know, it's so discriminated by our mind or by our habit. So nothing is real pleasure. That's the second part. And third part is, you know, our mind is impermanent.第三个部分，我们的心是无常的，心真的很无常，对吧？这个不要说爱人抛弃我们了哈，连我们自己对父母亲，想想啊，从小对父母亲的依赖的那个爱，到父母亲年老了要往生的时候，常年疾病在床上的时候。对你，我们对母亲的爱是怎么样的一个改变？也许母亲对我们的爱一直没有改变，也许啦，但是我们对于母亲的爱呢？ 我们对于自己的丈夫、先生、小孩的爱呢？我们的心一直在改变，好，所以心是无常的。那但是要观，不仅是观这个大的心念的改变，而还要再观是观我们的心，非常细微，念念都其实都在改变。好，这才是观的比较深入，念念都在改变，所以你不能执着任何一个念头就是你。So how about the mind is impermanent? It's so obvious, right? So my girl's friend dumped me. You know, she used to love me very much. Then now she didn't love me anymore. So impermanent. But you know, watch yourself. We love our parents when we were very little. We count on them. We stick with them.Then when we grew up, how we treat our parents, and how we treat our parents when they were very sick on the bed all the time, and how we treat them when they are dying. Our minds toward our parents keep changing. Our mind toward our spouse, our kids,changing all the time. That's a very obvious things that to observe. But how about our mind, the thought, every thought in our mind is keep changing. So when we can contemplate that our mind is every individual thought that connect together, and every thoughtis illusory, and who is ourself? Who is the self? Who is your, where is your mind? Your mind is not a thought, and let alone the continued connection of each thought. So where is your mind? Where is yourself? Okay. The fourth, 第四个部分就是要观心，观法无我。就是前面三个，观身不净，观受是苦，观心无常，这三个法都没有我在里面，都是因缘和合而成的，没有一个真实的我在里面。好，我的身体是因为四大假合，好，就长成这样。好，慢慢年纪长大了，好，就长高了一点，然后再老一点，长胖一点，对不对？就因为那个因缘的关系，然后你有时候是因为你吃太多的关系，或者是吃太少的关系，那这个因缘就让你就变胖、变瘦、变高、变矮。没有一个我说我要让我自己变瘦，我要让我自己变胖，它就可以马上变胖变瘦。没有一个我在主宰，那是一个因缘。包括第二个观受是苦，你想吃的念头、你不想吃的念头都是无常的，都没有一个我在里面。它也许是你身体 low 那个什么低血糖，对不对？那你就想吃了嘛，是你的身体告诉你想吃。好，它没有一个我，因为下一个念头，当你吃饱的时候，你就不想吃了嘛，对不对？所以这个身观受也是苦，也是苦的，它也是无常的。那个心呢？你的受，你这个片刻你喜欢吃苹果。给你吃100颗苹果之后，你就看到苹果一个月就不想吃了，你就不会说你爱苹果了。心都是无常，但是这里面没有一个我。好，可能一个月不让你吃苹果之后，你又爱吃苹果了，对不对？所以呢，它没有一个真正的不变的我在里面控制，所以就是因为没有一个我在里面，所以呢，心是无常的，受也是苦的，也改变的，然后你的身体是不净的，一直在变的。所以这个法是没有一个永恒不变的我在里面。Okay. How about the last one is called the contemplated Dharma has no self. It describes that the first three contemplation that the body is impure, your perception is suffering, and also the mind is impermanent. All those are conditional arising. It depends on the condition. Your body gets fat, gets skinny, it grow up or shrink. It all depends on the condition. Maybe you like to eat, you want to eat in this period because your blood sugar is low. That's why you want to eat more, and that's why you get fat. So the perception, the feeling that you want to eat more is impermanent, because when you are full, you don't want to eat anymore. The feeling of eating is gone. And then how about you like to eat this? You like to eat apple. Good. How about I give you 100 apple and ask you to eat it all the time, at once? Then you probably, in a month, you won't touch apple anymore. You don't like it. But how about I don't give you apple for a month. Then maybe you like apple again, right? So your mind depends on the condition. So all those three has no permanent self there that should do the response. They are all conditioned arising. They are all depends on the conditions. So this four contemplation is basically spread out in this part of the sutra that tells us how to contemplate. But I won't go to the detail. It's very subtle, step-by-step contemplation in the sutra. Okay. So, the Buddha say, you have to prepare yourself for the method of practice, and then you start to practice, and you contemplate, right? Until you contemplate that everything is illusory, everything has no self. It's a very long process. When you read the sutra, you probably will give up before you start. It's like, wow, I have to contemplate this six organ one by one, and each organ has faculty, the objects, and the consciousness, and that will be 18 things to contemplate, and there are 37/8 of it to enlightenment, the method to practice. Is a whole bunch of things that I have to practice. So that's quit. I will not make it. Maybe you will think it that way. 那经文里面，巨细靡遗的，从六根六尘到六识，一个一个来，眼根，然后眼尘、眼识要怎么观，总共六三十八。 八件事情要去 contemplate， 然后又有37处道品，还87000陀罗尼门，那你就看了你把那个经文看完，就觉得说啊，我没办法办到这个方法，我没办法成佛。好，这时候师父就跟我们讲一个故事了哈，他说哈，修行哈，我大概讲过好几遍了，他说修行哈就像是 一个桌子上，因为里面有一个木钉子，对不对？那我们不是要把钉子弄出来吗？这是我们的执着在里面，对不对？要把那个钉子钉出来。那你就用另外一个木钉就给它钉下去，那不是出来了吗？可是新的钉子又卡进去了，你再动第三个，钉下去，第二个跑出来了，你就一直钉，一直钉，一直钉，就像这个方法一样。你看那个眼神，眼跟眼神，一直一步一步来，一直钉，一直钉。 师父说，钉到什么时候为止？钉到有一天，你终于发现那个洞是空的。那个洞是空的的时候，里面有没有钉子已经无所谓了。也就是说，我们修行一直修，一直修，修到什么？发现 我们的本性是空性。这个时候有没有方法？是不是在用方法？已经不重要了。So, after we read through all the sutra, we might feel like, you know, I'm not going to make it. But Shifu gave an analogy about practice. Shifu say that, you know, the practice, the process of practice is just like, you know, when you found out that there is a nail, the wooden nail in the, stuck in the table, and you want to get out of the nail, and what you can do is you use another nail and punch in. And so the first one came out, right? But the second one stuck in. And then you keep punching the third one, the second one come out, third stuck in. So you let go of one attachment, but the other attachment get in. And practice is that we keep doing the same procedure. Keep doing it until you realize that the whole is empty. The property, the whole of the property is empty. At that moment, with that realization, if there is nail in the hole or not, it's not an issue anymore. Because when we practice, we want to see that our Buddha nature is actually the nature of emptiness. Not grab something. Or not get rid of anything. So the sutra say, you know, after we realize, after the enlightenment, we will realize that it's just like wake up from the dream. We realize that there is not a one who practice a method, and there is no realization or attachment. There is not, you are doing something and nothing is gone. Nothing is changed. Everything, all the things, all the Buddha nature is there equally without changing. Nail with nail, without nail. Okay. 证悟到说这个我们的佛性就是空性的时候呢，佛说就好像从梦中醒来一样，好，他已经没有什么叫做生死跟涅槃，无起无灭，无来无去，没有证者，也没有能证的人，没有证道的东西，好，你无得无失，无取无舍，无作无灭，无住无止。 桌子里面有没有那根钉子？重要，因为它是空性的一部分，没有曾经多过什么东西，也没有曾经少了什么东西。一切的法性平等不坏，它一直在那边，没有分别的，没有变坏，也没有变好。这就是我们的佛性。好，那但是师父就要提醒我们，哈。 修行呢，它不是一直在 repeat 的做一件事情而已，也不是要受苦。修行需要一个正确的观念跟方法的指导，就是心态要对，方法要对。好，那否则师父举了一个例子哈，他说，在中国北方啊。 寒冷的冬天啊，啊有一个人哦，他可以用赤脚在冰上走路，走来走去没有问题哦。那村民就好高兴哦，觉得说这个人好有修行哦，太厉害了。就那有一个禅师就说：“看呐、啊，那一群鸭子，啊，也是光着脚在冰上走，他们好有修行哦。” 如果这样子的修行，这样叫受苦恨哦，你说你去做苦差事，就这样子叫做修行的话，连鸭子都在修行了。所以修行绝对不是说我去受苦，好像牛一下牛啊马一样去受苦，好，或是去做一些很奇怪的事情，这叫做修行，不是哈。So then, you know, 师父 say that we have to keep using the method to let go of the attachment until we realize the emptiness of our nature. However, practice is not just keep repeating doing the same thing or give yourself a hard time. Okay, so Sufu gave a story in the book saying that, you know, there is a guide that in the north part of China in the very cold winter, that he is able to use his bare feet to walk on the ice lake without any pain. So all the village people just praise him. So, wow, this person has very advanced practitioner. He can, you know, walk on the ice lake with bare feet. So then there is a master told his disciples, say, look, all those ducks. They use barefoot walk on the ice lake too. They are great practitioners. You know, if we think that the people who can walk on the ice lake with barefoot is a great practitioner, then those dogs are great practitioners too. So, Shifu said that practice is not, you know, try to do hard work or keep repeating same thing over and over. Just like, you know, I chanting Buddha's name. If I don't have a right attitude, chanting Buddha's name is not practice. Okay? 所以呢, 师父就讲哦, so practice, we need a method, and we also need the correct concept and method. That the both go together so that we can make this method a real practice. Okay. 那最后呢, 师父讲好, 他说, 其实哦, 我们修行的目的 是为了进入禅门, 但是呢, 最后我们会发现他没有门, 因为他从来就没有跟我们分开过。 他是说, 所以我们在修行的时候, 不是要去找一个门, 找一扇门, 真的可以进入。 如果我们要这样的一个心态的话, 当我们在试这个方法的时候, 有没有? 师父常常不是说我们是摩门教的吗? 说, 诶, 找一个方法的时候，我要开这个门， 怎么打不开， 进不去， 这个门不work， 换一个门， 再想开一个门， 再进去， 又进不去， 再开一个门， 怎么那门都打不开呢？ 就一直换方法， 这就不是在修禅了。 师父说禅门， 进禅门， 你会发现它没有门， 它根本就跟你在一起的， 所以你要打开的是你的心门， 不是外面去追求任何一扇你可以开的门。 所以呢, 修行的一个目的, 它其实就是一种觉醒, 内在的觉醒, 觉醒到, 禅跟你根本就是一直在一起的, 不是向外追求的。 So, 师父 say that the purpose of practice is actually to enter into the chan, and then we realize that there is no door that we can enter, because the chan is always with us in the beginning. So Sifu always say that we are those who like to touch the door, you know. In Chinese, it's more funny. It's like, you know, you touch the door and then found that the door is not open, cannot open the door, or the door is not working. Then you keep changing methods. You try to open the other door, and you find out you cannot open it. You keep changing. The only thing you do is touch the door, the bar. You never open the door and get in, and you keep changing the method. But Shifu say that when we practice. It's not looking for a door to open it. It's that you use the method. You try to get in, but then you realize that the Chan is always with you. You need to open your mind door, not a door from outside, not looking for something outside to open it up so that you can get in. That you have let go of your attachment, open your mind door, and you found that Chan is already with you. Okay, so practice awakening is a realization that there is no self, a realization that the no self, the emptiness of the nature of emptiness, is always with you. 那最后呢？ 我要讲引用一下师父的讲的一句话，他说：“为了要证悟圆觉，我们必须要为自己的潜能打开心胸，将存在、不存在、完美、不完美、凡夫与佛的这些概念呢，都放到一边去。” 用你一个敞开的心胸去接受，用慈悲、智慧的心胸去接受这世间所有的一切。这是我们真正修行的态度。Okay, so the last, I will share the comments from Shifu in the book. Shifu said that in order to attain the complete enlightenment, we have to open our mind for our unlimited potential and let aside the so-called existence, non-existence, perfect, not perfect, ordinary people, and Buddha. Let go of those discrimination and just open your mind compassionately and wisely to accept everything, all the things in this world. And that's the correct attitude to practice. Okay. 所以今天呢，我们就是很简短的分享一下这个普眼菩萨他跟佛请教的这个问题，就是为我们这个凡夫的八心菩萨问说， 这个顿悟的还不能进去，有没有见次修行的方法？那这个见次的修行方法很冗长，但是最后要回归的是说，虽然有这么多见次的东西，但是我们最后要能够放下所有的分别，然后呢，一切法性是平等不坏的，它还是回归到前面两个菩萨讲的，本来就跟我们在一起，就是 一切众生本来成佛。This chapter, the Bodhisattva of Universal Vision, asks for us, we are ordinary Bodhisattva that just initiate our Buddha path, that you know, even though we cannot use the subtle method to get enlightened, that Buddha still provide us some gradual steps that we can practice. Even though it's a long process, a long path, but we have to keep in mind that all the Dharma natures is already there, discriminately there with us, never changed. Okay? So don't look for something outside. And our intrinsic Buddha nature is already within us. Okay, 所以我今天的分享到这边结束。下一个呢是 Bodhisattva Vajragava. 下一个菩萨是讲金刚藏菩萨。他又问了一个更有趣的问题。那其实他在问的就是问题，就在问 那么一切众生本来成佛，请问众生由何而来？这连科学都一直在问的问题，非常重要。So next lectures, we will share the Bodhisattva of Bodhisattva Vajragava. He asked a very, very important, very interesting question. Is that okay? Since we are intrinsically attained Buddhahood.So what is the origin of sentient beings? This is a very basic question for science as well. Now, where the sentient being came from? Why this world exists? Okay, so you are welcome to the next lectures. Thank you very much. 那我们今天讲到这里。